Let's keep our Bibles opened at Psalm 23, and may the Lord be gracious to bless the meditation of this psalm tonight on the topic, Jehovah Roi, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23. Since we have read it responsively just a while ago, I will not read that psalm now, but we shall straight away take time to meditate upon it. Now, you're having a series on the names of God, in which you learn about your God, the Lord God Almighty, who created the world and called us by His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be His people. Now, Scripture reveals to us hundreds of names of God. By these names, God's people have known God and also addressed Him. All of those names of God were sacred to His ancient people. They were reverentially and affectionately remembered and used by His people in their worships, songs, prayers, and even in mutual conversations. Now, the names of God are more than just designations of God. The names of God are meant to open our hearts and minds to the grandeur of God. The names of God are not just different nicknames or designations by which God was known to different persons. Through these many different names that we have in the Scriptures, God revealed His person and His perfections to His people. The names of God reveal to us His majestic person, His glorious attributes, His mighty deeds, and His supreme greatness. The names of God also define His relationship with His people, such as what we have in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. That name reveals the Lord's relationship with His people, or His covenantal favors to His people. Now, we must know that the names are God's revelation of Himself. Names of God are not assigned to Him by any man. Yes, some of God's saints use that name, but they did not come up with those names on their own. As the Spirit of God guided them in the revelation concerning God, well, they were moved by the Holy Spirit to utter those great names of God. So we do not name God. He names Himself. And He reveals His person, His attributes to us. So remember, God's names are revelatory in nature, and they are revelatory of Himself. He was making known a certain truth concerning Himself to us through those names. One of the chief ways God has made Himself known in the Scriptures is through different names. And so these names are very special to God's people because it provides us with a personal disclosure of God. And that's one of the ways that God chose to reveal Himself to us. So since God has made known Himself to us through His names in the scriptures. We must be very thankful to meditate upon those names. And we should be grateful that God, who is so great and so far from us, has made himself close to us by telling us who he is and revealing his greatness and his goodness to us through his names. The Lord may be mysterious and lofty and unapproachable, and yet he had revealed himself to us graciously, of course. So, dear brethren, as we think about this particular name of God, the Lord, my shepherd, let us be grateful. Now, please remember, Psalm 23 is not a prayer in which David addressed God or invoked God. It is preeminently a psalm of faith and a psalm of privilege. What do I mean by that? It speaks throughout of what God does for his people. It is a confident affirmation of David concerning his God. He is not asking God to do something for him. Rather, he is rejoicing in what the Lord has done and continues to do in his personal life. And so he speaks of God in a very personal way. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord. There were hundreds and maybe even thousands of gods and or deities known to the people around Israel. The Amalekites had their God, the Amorites had their God, the Moabites had their God, the Canaanites had their God. There were all kinds of heathen nations worshiping all forms and kinds of deities. But there is none like the God of Israel, the one who has revealed himself as Jehovah, Jehovah, the great I am, the self-existing, the uncreated God, the eternal one, the covenant name that God has revealed to Moses in his word. And David takes the name of the Lord, and he sees it as a divine favor given to him. And so he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." A very personal psalm. And it is so full of tenderness of the Lord toward his people. David is so happy to recollect the Lord's goodness in his life. It was his quiet trust that the Lord is his shepherd. It was his undisturbed joy that the Lord is his shepherd. It is a beautiful psalm. Even our children must learn them. I think most of us teach our children Psalm 23 when they are young. When I was a young boy growing up in a Christian home, my parents taught me Psalm 23. It remained with me to this day. Of course, I did not learn it in English. I learned it in my own language back in India. And I can still recite it, even though I'm not using that language for the past 30 years. It stays in my mind with all its beauty. Though it is so beautiful, and one might say it's the simplicity of the psalm is so wonderful that even children can learn it, yet there lies the depth and strength of the great Lord in his relationship with his people. There is a sense of contentment. There is a sense of safety and sufficiency that the psalmist feel throughout the psalm. But it's all in the shadow of his great God, the Lord. Because of the presence of the Lord in his life as a shepherd, he is feeling completely at rest, almost carefree, and he says, I shall not want. Well, the name of the Lord as the shepherd of Israel and shepherd of all his people is found many times repeated in the book of Psalms, in the book of Isaiah, and of course in the New Testament, because our Lord Jesus Christ used that name for himself in John chapter 10, verse 14. Jesus referred to himself as the good shepherd. The covenant Lord is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is a good shepherd. According to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, Jesus is the great shepherd. According to 1 Peter 5, 4, Jesus Christ is a chief shepherd. David's shepherd is also our shepherd, our good, great, and chief shepherd. O church, let's rejoice. And you can collectively rejoice in the shepherd of Israel. You know, when Isaiah spoke about Jesus Christ in one of the messianic sections of his book, he said this: He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. What a picture of our Savior. Isaiah 40, 11. Let me read that for you one more time without going into the explanation of the text, but just to accent the name of the Lord, shepherd. Listen to this one more time. Isaiah 40, 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. A very caring shepherd. After all, David is very familiar with this figure of a shepherd. He himself was a shepherd boy. He looked after his father's sheep. And for him to think of the Lord as a shepherd and he himself as the sheep of the Lord was a very natural way of thinking. For David, the Lord being described as shepherd is a very natural metaphor. The Lord is the shepherd king. Now, let me quickly explain to you from Psalm 23. Now, why David thinks of the Lord as his shepherd? First of all, he calls the Lord his shepherd because the Lord is the one who cares for him. And as verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, he says, all my needs have been met till this day, and he shall take care of me even in the future. The Lord provides The Lord cares. All my needs are met, and He will continue to meet my needs. I do not know what are your needs today. Maybe you are anxious about tomorrow and the possibility of not having enough to meet your needs. You may be troubled in your heart, but my dear friends, needs may come only to prove the sufficiency of our Lord who cares for us. In the life of God's people, God always cares. A shepherd exists to care for his sheep. When the morning comes, the shepherd goes to the fold, and as Jesus described it in John 10, he calls his sheep by name, and his sheep heareth the voice of his shepherd and comes out of the fold through the door, and they follow the shepherd. The shepherd joyfully leads that flock into the pasture. Without him, sheep will go astray. They may be looking for food, but they may end up biting on poisonous herbs or poisonous grass that can kill them. They may be desperate, and they get wandered away, like Isaiah said in Isaiah 53, like sheep, we have gone astray. The tendency of a sheep is to go astray. It doesn't know how to get back to the fold on its own, neither does it know how to avoid dangers of all kinds. And David knew when he wrote this psalm that in his entire life was not a story of his goodness or greatness, but the loving care of the Lord who led him, whom he trusted. And so he beautifully confesses right there, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Till this day, the Lord cared for me, so I live and write this psalm. And if there is another day that God will give to me, He will be there as my shepherd. He will care for me." May you be also now say with confidence, may you also say with confidence that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Let all anxiety and fear now be banished from your heart. Let every believer rise in faith, in confidence. The Lord will help me. I know not how, but He will be there to lead me and guide me and care for me. The second reason why David addressed the Lord as his shepherd is because of the spiritual nourishment, the nourishment that the Lord promises to his sheep, such as David and you and me. He says in verse 2, in a beautiful way, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." A shepherd leads his sheep to fresh grass. Green grass can be a reference to young grass, and sheep love to graze on the new shoot of the grass, the green, light green, beautiful grass that they love to eat. And the shepherd knows what is most delightsome to his sheep. You know, the Lord leads us in the same way. We may have difficulties at times. We may have concerns at times, but the Lord has taken care of us. Now, the greatest care the Lord provides for us is the nurture of our soul. In all situations, He leads us to green pastures. One who follows the Lord will not lack any spiritual nourishment. He will feed us. He will feed us till we want no more. And the Lord Himself told all His under-shepherds, meaning to say pastors and elders of the church, that they must feed the flock, Acts 20:28 and 1 Peter 5:2. This church is the Lord's green pasture for you, that your souls may be fed. Through all the varying circumstances of your life, the Lord takes care. The food for our soul is the Word of God, like 1 Peter 2:2 or Hebrews 5:12-14 tells us. The Lord takes care of our spiritual nourishment. He will never, ever allow us to be impoverished as long as we follow His voice, His leading. A third reason why David referred to the Lord as his shepherd is because the Lord leads him to spiritual restoration. Not only provisions and nourishment, but also restoration. Didn't he say in the second half of verse 2 and in the first part of verse 3, He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me. Again, he goes on. Let me stop there. Consider these two parts of that psalm. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. The Lord provides restoration. As shepherd leads his sheep to placid waters for rest and cleansing, the Lord also leads us by His providence that we may be restored and refreshed in our souls. Sheep generally are very afraid of rushing waters. They need still waters to feel calm and quiet and drink. And the Lord knows how to comfort us. The Lord knows how to lead us gently, as we read a while ago from Isaiah 40, verse 11. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. And we also read very clearly in the beginning of verse 3 that He restoreth my soul. What a confident statement from David. He experienced through all the changing scenes in his life that the Lord restores him. The Lord gives him peace and tranquility. Oh, you know the story of David. I don't have the time to narrate all the experiences of David, but many of you are familiar with the stories of David. Even as a shepherd boy, he had to face very troubling situations like the wild animals, lions and bears coming against the flock. It is in the name of the Lord. He stood there to protect his sheep. Oh, what kind of calmness and steadiness must have been in that heart of David. When he faced Goliath, we all know that story. How calm and determined he was. He was not afraid. He was not panicking. He was calm and confident. And in the name of the Lord of hosts, in the name of the Lord of Israel, the Lord of hosts, he went to confront the giant of the Philistines. what great victory he had. When King Saul chased him around all over the land of Israel, there were times when David became so afraid. We know of an incident where he ran into the land of the Philistines to King Achish. But that was not the best of choices he made. The Lord has sort of chastised him and brought him back. But in all those very complex situations, as the scripture says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. His soul was kept calm in such trying moments because of the Lord's care for him. And he was restored by the presence of the Lord. Oh, but we all know, worst of all, he experienced the fury of God against him when he committed sin against Bathsheba. How the Lord rebuked him sharply through the prophet Nathan. But again, when you read Psalm 51 or Psalm 32, you see how he rejoices in the forgiveness of God. He says, O Lord, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. He was restored. He was happy. And so he confessed here. He restoreth my soul. How you and I need the forgiveness of God. So many times we have fallen short of the Lord's expectation. We have acted foolishly. And we are now worried about the consequences. Oh, please look to the Lord. If you have trusted him, now come in repentance to him. He will restore you. And not just restoring. The fourth reason why David referred to the Lord as his shepherd is because of the Lord's leading in the right way or in the righteous way. Verse 3, second half of it, he says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. A good shepherd knows the right paths on which to bring his sheep home safely. He knows how to take his sheep out into the pastures and then bring back home. He's a great guide. The Lord of Israel, the Lord of David, is truly the one who knows the path we ought to take. And he will guide us through the right path. And do you know why the Lord would do it? David says, for his name's sake. The leading or the guiding of our souls through the righteous path is set on God's name itself. For his own name's sake, for the glory of his name, the Lord promises to guide us in the righteous path. Dear brethren, don't ever make decisions contrary to the voice of your shepherd. Listen to the scriptures where the Lord gives us all his commandments, which are pure and perfect. And he gives us promises such as this, that he will lead us for his own name's sake. Oh, how wonderful if every step that you and I take are so sure to be perfect and right. How nice it is. You know, as a father, I constantly worry about my children because I know they can make mistakes. But if I can have the confidence, they will pray and they will trust and they will not turn right or left from the voice of the shepherd, the Lord, then I can be confident even though they will go through dark valleys, the Lord will take care of them. And that's the next reason why David says, the Lord is my shepherd. Look at verse 4. He so beautifully says, "Eh, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Remember, this dark valley comes because the Lord is leading him in the righteous path for his own name's sake. So when the Lord leads, there can be tough situations. The dark valleys. Maybe in the valley there are great trees and plenty of bushes. And because of such big trees and shrubs around, there is a sense of quietness, not only quietness, but also the shadow, the gloominess. And the sheep may be scared of it, but nothing to worry, because as David says, the Lord will be there. And I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He sees the Lord as an ever-present shepherd who takes him through all varying terrains and situations and circumstances, and his presence is always with him. For thou art with me. And then he says, thy rod and thy staff, the equipment in the hand of a shepherd, which is used, the rod is used to drive away wild animals. And the staff, which is a crook, is used normally to control the sheep from going astray and to keep them in the right path. And the shepherd will use his equipment to protect the sheep in especially dark valleys. And David is here confessing the Lord's protection while he goes through difficult circumstances. So you see, my dear brethren, the Lord cares for us. The Lord nourishes us. The Lord restores us. The Lord guides us in the right path. And the Lord protects us. Believers are never in situations that the Lord is not aware of. In Psalm 46, we read, God is my refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. So if there are troubles, we can be absolutely assured the Lord's presence is going to be there. And we just have to comfort ourselves by saying, the Lord will be with me. He will never leave nor forsake his people. And when we come to verse 5, almost every commentator seemed to struggle a little bit what this is all about. It says this, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Generally, the understanding of this is, you know, even though there are wild animals waiting to pounce on these sheep, in the pasture, happily grazing, the shepherd takes care of them. He provides for them water or drinks that they need, and also anoint their head with oil, that some commentators would say it is a reference to the anointing of medicinal oil, so that flies and others will not cause damage to them, which can cause bad infections and disease to the sheep. So they apply oil to keep the sheep healthy. Well, there may be cruel animals waiting to pounce on these little ones, these weak animals. Yet the Lord, in the presence of all those eyes that are peering through, cares for his sheep. So these enemies don't dare to come near, as the shepherd takes care of his sheep. Well, some others say that this is a change of scene in the psalm. Oh, this is like providing a banquet. This is a banquet hall where hospitality is lavishly provided for. David says, according to those who think this way, that David is saying that the Lord receives him into his presence in a very lavish manner. He provides him with anointing oil to refresh and soothe and to welcome him into the home. Well, I tend to think this should be understood in the context of the metaphor of shepherd and the pasture and the sheep. But the point is this, my dear brethren. Here is an assurance that David received throughout his life. The Lord will never abandon him to the desires of his enemies. But even though he will be surrounded by innumerable enemies, the Lord will care in such a way that he will know the Lord is his healer, the Lord is his protector, provider, and he takes care of him even in the presence of his enemies. Christian life is filled with many troubles. The moment we follow Jesus, we actually make a lot of people very upset and angry. It can be even people in our own homes. Our unbelieving parents may turn against us. Our unbelieving spouse may turn against us. There may be a lot of people who sneer at us, who would slander us. It can be very painful, and they would try to put obstacles before us to prevent us from following the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the presence of all these enemies and more, the devil and the world, the Lord will take care of us. He will receive us and tenderly refresh us, soothe us, and provide all the blessings we need. And therefore, he said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Well, that is truly a reference to the abundant, overflowing blessings of God in his life. So the Lord is my shepherd because he not only cares for me, he cares for me over and above what I need. He provides so much that my life becomes satisfied, and then it becomes a blessing even for others. You know, that's how the Lord takes care. When the Lord takes care, not only we know the Lord takes care of us, but others around us would also know the Lord is taking care of us. That's how the Lord lead all his people. So let's rejoice, my brethren. Whatever be the difficulty that you and I are facing, let's remember this beautiful name of our Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, in the last verse, we see the response that David has to this wonderful name of the Lord. What is his response? Well, he says this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's his response of faith. When our hearts rest by faith in the goodness of the Lord, we will then respond in such a way that we will affirm the goodness of the Lord. Surely, David says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. There won't be any lack, as he said. In fact, I feel that in verse 6, he reiterates verse 1 and all the rest. Goodness and mercy, the loving kindness of God, will bring all good things into my life. Of course, we are familiar with Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes. What a great promise we have, because the Lord is our shepherd. And let's affirm it. Let's say it in our heart as a matter of confession of the greatness of our God, as a matter of worship of our great God, as a matter of engaging our own souls in the Lord. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And so he ended by dedicating himself to the Lord. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When David wrote this psalm, the temple was not yet built. The house of the Lord was a tabernacle. And he says, as long as I live, I shall worship him. I will go where the Lord is worshipped, where the Lord is preached, where the people of God recount his goodness. In the midst of those people, I will be. You know, the word I will dwell here in Hebrew is the same word as the word restore is. Restore, the idea of returning to the Lord continually for worship. I will restore myself to the Lord and I will remain in him. You know, we have a tendency to wander like the sheep. But let's say, I will dwell. I will return to my God every moment. I will dwell in his presence. I will return to the Lord's house. I will go, you and me must say, to the church, where the Lord is exalted, where Christ, the head of the church, is worshipped. Is a subject of the songs and the message that is preached. I want to hear him more. I want to hear about him more. I want to rejoice in him. And let this be my enjoyment all the days of my life and beyond. Well, who can wait? Who can wait to see our Lord? Every one of us must pray like the last prayer in the Bible. Even so, come, Lord, quickly. We want to be with you, my shepherd, my king. Thou art everything to me. So, dear brethren, as I end this devotion of Psalm 23 on the topic that the Lord is my shepherd, I would call you to make this consecration before God as David did. Lord, I will abide in thy house where thy glory is remembered and worshipped and rejoiced in. I'm your servant. I'm your sheep. I shall follow thee. And the Lord will be greatly pleased to bless you and grant you the blessings that we learned today of that great name of the Lord. Roi, my shepherd. Say it. Say it in your heart as a confession to the Lord. Thou art my shepherd, O Lord. My shepherd, lead me on. Let us pray. We pray, Lord, that thou who art the shepherd of thy people, the great shepherd, the good and chief shepherd, may thou minister to thy people through the words that we meditated upon this evening. May thy name be ever sweet to us. May nothing disturb our peace in thee. May no other thought come into our heart more than the thought about our great Lord. Thank you for this psalm that helps us once again to view your person, your gracious relationship you offered to us in Christ Jesus, that we may be your flock, the sheep of your pasture. Oh, we rejoice to know thee and to know thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.